proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. I'm your host, Aaron Broughton, and want to thank you for joining me today. Well, with me in studio, we have the pleasure of having Brother Dan here. And Dan is a Jewish believer, and such a delight to have him here. And I think you're going to be just excited to hear his testimony as he shares it with us. So welcome to the studio, Brother Dan.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, on our last program, Dan was sharing with us a little bit about his upbringing and kind of in a mixed family, Jew and Gentile. But being raised and eventually coming to know Jesus as his Messiah. Dan, if you can just kind of recap a little bit of how you got saved.
Sure. So, coming from more of a secular Jewish background, not hearing much about God or religion or anything spiritual, many believers were in my life, introduced me to a good Bible-preaching church, heard the gospel for some time, and when God had that right time in my life, heard the gospel, got saved, and since that time he's been using me for his glory. So God really started moving my life in very fast directions. I wasn't really prepared at that time. I had a plan for my life, basically. I knew what I wanted to do and had everything mapped out, but often, well, really almost every time, God has a different plan for us. And so after he had saved me in June of 2007, my next question is what do I do now? Now that I have this faith, what do I do with it? And so I started growing, was really thankful that in my church, my pastor took the time to sit with me, to teach me the word, to help me to grow and to understand now that God has saved me, there's a message that needs to go to other people in my life, and people that I hadn't even met yet. And so I really started searching the scriptures. Okay, God, what would you have for me? And he started opening and closing doors as he wanted me to go to different areas. I had really desired to be in the Peace Corps for even before I became a believer. And God made it clear that that door was closed because as I interviewed in New York City, the lady across the desk was actually an atheist. And so knowing that God wants us to share his word, his truth, and her telling me on that specific field I would not be able to do that, I said, okay, Lord, as much as I want this, I need to follow what you want me to do. And so he closed that door, but then he opened another door. And actually through IBJM here in Hickson, Tennessee, they offered a missions trip to the Ukraine. And so that was the summer of 2008. I had gone, heard about the trip, signed up for it, and it was on that trip that I really understood the value and need to share the gospel with other people. And so God directed me towards what we would say full-time missionary service. And after that, I was, okay, knew wanted to be serve him full-time as a missionary. But then it was the following summer in June of 2009 that IBJM also provided what they call the four-day focus. And I started realizing there's a need specifically to the Jewish people. Even though having a Jewish mother, Israeli mother, I really had no desire or interest in Israel or the Jews before being saved. And it was at that time that God said, okay, these are Jewish Israelis that need to hear the gospel. I didn't even know that Jews could be Christians at that point. But after reading the scriptures, I realized God was calling me to the Jews and eventually to Israel. And so God opened those doors. And also in that time, he had brought me a wife, Rachel. I actually met her on the Ukraine missions trip. We got married December 2009. And then we were already on our way to Israel in November 2010.
Wow, that's just kind of a flurry of activity. But God has definitely been working in your life, and we praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
And so thank you, Dan, for joining us today. And we're going to be actually talking a little bit more about some of Dan's experiences in ministry on our next program. So until then, let's now turn our attention to our good friend and Jewish believer, Brother Mark Oshman, with today's Bible lesson.
Welcome back to our radio program. We will resume our study about biblical roles and offices by looking at the nature of the priesthood. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, also bore the title Priest of the Most High God. according to the 14th chapter of Genesis. The ancient Egyptians also had priests, as noted in Genesis chapter 47. In the second chapter of Exodus, the author referred to Jethro as, quote, the priest of Midian, unquote. Thus, the concept of a priesthood existed before God gave the Jewish people the law of Moses. Before God gave the law, as recorded in Exodus chapter 19, he alluded to the Jewish nation as, quote, a kingdom of priests and an holy nation, unquote. Such a statement did not imply that God would not later establish a formal religious hierarchy among the Jewish people. In that same chapter, God admonished the priests in the midst of the Jewish people to sanctify themselves, implying that the Jews already had individuals serving as priests, and that a priesthood existed amongst the Jews, a priesthood that predated the giving of the Mosaic Law. In that law, however, God codified the details pertaining to the priesthood. He commanded Moses, quote, anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, unquote. A command recorded in Exodus chapter 30. According to Exodus chapter 40, God declared that, quote, their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations, unquote. God mandated that Moses consecrate Aaron and his sons unto the priestly ministry. The 8th chapter of Leviticus described that process. Moses took these men and washed them with water. After that, according to the narrative, quote, he put on him the coat, and girded him with the girdle, and clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod upon him, and he girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod, and bound it unto him therewith. And he put the breastplate upon him, also he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim, and he put the mitre upon his head, also upon the mitre, even upon his forefront, did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, unquote. The previous words refer to the consecration of Aaron as the first high priest. Moses performed a similar ritual with Aaron's sons, consecrating them to the priesthood. Moses then poured oil on Aaron's head. He brought a bullock for a sin offering, and had Aaron and his sons lay their hands upon that offering. Moses killed the animal and collected its blood. He then placed that blood on the tip of Aaron's right ear, and on the thumb of Aaron's right hand, and on the great toe of Aaron's right foot. Moses repeated that procedure with Aaron's sons. Moses gathered the fat and the right shoulder of the sacrificial animal. He took an unleavened cake, a cake of oiled bread, and a wafer, which he added to the fat and to the right shoulder. Moses put these items in the hands of Aaron and his sons to serve as a wave offering unto God. Moses then took these items from the priest in order to present them to God as a burnt offering. Moses concluded the ceremony by mixing the anointing oil with the sacrificial blood and sprinkling that compound upon the garments worn by Aaron and his sons. Moses then commanded Aaron and his sons, quote, "You shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in 7 days. Until the days of your consecration be at an end, for 7 days shall he consecrate you," unquote. During that period, they could eat the flesh of the sacrificial animal, and they could consume the consecrated bread. They would have to burn any leftover meat and bread that they did not eat. If they failed to follow those explicit instructions, God said he would end their lives. In the first chapter of Joel, God alluded to the priesthood as, quote, the Lord's ministers, unquote, and, quote, ministers of the altar, unquote. Priests therefore had to maintain a higher level of ceremonial purity than other Jews did. For example, they could only marry virgins, as noted in the 21st chapter of Leviticus. A priest's primary duty involved offering sacrifices to God. In connection with the burnt offering mentioned in the first chapter of Leviticus, God commanded that, quote, the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood, and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unquote. Old Testament priests also assisted judges in connection with lawsuits. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, God instructed Moses that, quote, the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. For them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him, and to bless in the name of the Lord. And by their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried." Unquote. Priests also dealt with health-related issues, such as leprosy. The 13th chapter of Leviticus described what priests needed to do in connection with that disease. God told Moses to tell the priest that, quote, "When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest." Unquote. That priest had the responsibility of determining whether or not such a person was indeed ceremonially unclean. In some instances, a priest would have to examine a leprous person on several occasions before issuing his determination as to whether a person was clean or unclean. Since leprosy could spread from one individual to another, this aspect of the priestly ministry carried some health risks for the priests. Leviticus chapter 14 also depicted a ritual a priest needed to perform once he pronounced the leper cleansed. That cleansed leper had to present the priest two ceremonial clean birds, cedarwood, scarlet, and hyssop. The priest ordered someone to kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel filled with running water. He then dipped the living bird, in the scarlet, and the hyssop in the blood of the slain bird. Here's the instructions God gave afterwards. Quote, "He shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field." Unquote. After a seven-day period had passed, the cleansed leper presented the priest with a trespass offering. The priest would then take the blood of that sacrifice and apply it to the tip of the cleansed leper's right ear, the thumb of his right hand, and the great toe of his right foot. The priest then poured oil into his own left hand, dipped his right finger in that oil, and sprinkled it before God seven times. He applied the remainder of that unguent to the same body parts of the person making the offering. Only after making additional offerings would the priest pronounce the former leper as clean. God also commanded the priest to execute other functions. According to Numbers chapter 10, God ordered them to sound trumpets whenever he decided that the Israelites needed to move their encampment. Priests could determine property values, as noted in Leviticus chapter 27. Furthermore, teaching priests instructed people about the Mosaic law, as mentioned in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. In the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy, God directed the Israelites that whenever they entered into the land of promise, quote, "There shall be a place where the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord." Unquote. God designated that a portion of those tithes and offerings be used to support the priests. According to Numbers chapter 18, we read, quote, "The Lord spake unto Aaron, Behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings, of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by ordinance forever." Unquote. Since the priests could have no material inheritance, God used this arrangement to provide for their sustenance. Indeed, in Malachi chapter 3, God rebuked the Jewish people for failing to continue that practice. The priesthood comprised an essential part of the Old Testament theocracy. As the 10th chapter of Hebrews stated, quote, "Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices." Unquote. In a sense, therefore, the priests function as mediators between God and the Israelites. We've come to the end of another radio broadcast. Thank you for listening. Please come back for future radio Bible studies.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.